When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to shew unto his disciples how he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of His precious and His eternal Word. Jesus has traveled, other than when He was a baby, to Egypt. In His ministry, the furthest He's ever traveled away from home plate. He's 120 miles north of Jerusalem. He's not in Israel anymore. He's in the Tetrarch of Philippi. He's in Gentile territory. He's in a heathen area. There are temples. The fact is, that place before it was called Caesarea Philippi used to be called Panis, because they believed that the god Pan was born in a cave where the Jordan River runs out. So there were temples all around to Pan, and temples to Caesar, and temples to false gods. You say, why in the world would Jesus go there? Because when He was in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Galilee, He was surrounded by crowds. And the time had come that they could see the dividing line had happened. The dividing line between those who accepted Him for who He is and what He is, and those who would make Him something that He is not. And so He took His 12 disciples, His apostles, and He took the people that were with Him. There were a few others that traveled, some women and people. And they traveled into the north country, where He privately could talk to them and teach them. And there was much talk about Jesus. Everybody talked about Him. We talk about Him in America. Jesus comes up all the time, in all kinds of ways and with all kinds of ideas. And Jesus said to them, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, you know, some people believe you're John the Baptist. Herod the king did. He cut John's head off, and when he heard what Jesus was doing, he believed John the Baptist had come back to life, and Jesus was John the Baptist. Some people believe, because of the miracles he did, he was Elijah that had come back. Some people believe, because of his ministry of preaching, he was Jeremiah, who was a much revered prophet." And all the people decided that he was at least one of the old prophets come back to the place. The crowds believed he was their ticket to political security. They would have taken him by force and made him a king and set him on a throne. They wanted him to be the king. They didn't want him to be the Savior. They didn't want him to be God. They wanted him to be the king. They wanted him to set up a kingdom, vanquish the Romans, take over the country, make Jerusalem the capital of the world. They had political aspirations for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so all of these ideas about Jesus are floating around. You say, well, I'm glad we're past all that. Are we? There's all kinds of ideas about Jesus floating around. There's a whole group of people who will come to your door carrying a little paper called a watchtower. They believe that Jesus was a created being, that He's not actually the Son of God, but He's in reality the angel Michael. They believe he's not a born son or a begotten son. They believe he's the first creation of God. They believe Jesus Christ had a beginning, that he's not eternal. They do not believe he's immortal. They believe he, in fact, is they deny that sickness is real. They say, you're not really sick. That's just an illusion. You just think you're sick. They say death is not real. Now, if they don't believe that, they ought to come over to where I work, and we could teach them a thing or two. But they say death is not real. They say death is an illusion. So on that basis, they say Jesus Christ did not die, that they just thought he was dead, that he just stayed in the tomb, and the body died, but the Christ lived. And that when Easter Sunday morning came, he wasn't resurrected out of the tomb. God just made a new body, created a new body for the Christ to live in, and it was the angel Michael. And that actually, you say, well, do they believe he's coming back again? Well, of course they do. They believe he came back invisibly in 1914. They had prophesied that he was coming back and he didn't show up. And they said, well, he was invisible when he got here because he was in the Spirit. So there are ideas about God. The Bible said that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the living God. But the people of Islam are out preaching that God has no son, that God could not have a son, that God would not have a son. But I can tell you that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. In fact, is our Mormon friends who live around us, they have a great thing about the Son of God. And they certainly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe he's one of the many begotten sons of God. And not the only begotten Son of God, but one of the many begotten sons of God. In fact is, they believe that originally Jesus Christ was a created spirit, an equal brother with a fellow named Lucifer. That Satan and Jesus Christ were brothers to start with. And this, you say they believe in Jesus? Sure they believe in Jesus. They believe he's one of the many sons of God and that he's one of our brothers and that we all are spirit children of our Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. You do realize that these folks believe that God has a wife in heaven. And we all were spirit children of Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother. And Lucifer and Jesus and Eddie and Rhonda and all the rest of us. We're spirit children of our Father in heaven. Well, that's a different take on Jesus, don't you think? That he was a created being and a brother to Lucifer and just came down here to get him a body, that he wasn't born of a virgin because God came down in a physical body and had sex with the Virgin Mary, caused her to conceive. Forget the Holy Ghost, by the way. You say, surely they don't believe that. Well, surely they do. You can look it up on the internet if you wanted to, or come to my library and look up a few of my books, and I could show you, or show you in their books. I don't have anything against that. And you say, well, do the Muslims believe in Jesus? Absolutely. They do believe in Jesus. They say he was God's mightiest prophet other than Muhammad. They say he was a gifted prophet, that he more clearly exemplified the goodness of God more than anybody that ever lived. But Muhammad had to come along 600 years later to clarify what Jesus came to say with the Quran and had to bring it to him. So there's another idea about Jesus. And of course, as I said a moment ago, they believed God would not, could not, and did not have a son. God would never have a son. I don't know why he wouldn't, but they say he didn't. And then we have a group of people called the Christian Scientists that says he's not God. Said Jesus never was God, never would be, couldn't be. But he was a man who showed what Christ was like. Jesus was the man person, and Christ was the principle of healing that's within him. And the Holy Spirit, well, that's the spirit of Christian Science that teaches us how to master all the things we do. He only seemed to die, they believe. That they just thought he died, and they don't believe anybody's blood would cleanse anybody from sin. And sacrifice, there could be no sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. That each person would have to atone for their own sins and work their own way through to get there. In fact, as Mary Eddy Baker, the founder of the Christian Scientists, was very clear in her belief that there was nothing in what Christ was doing that would save the world, but we must learn to work our way through the science of Christianity. In fact, as they believe the Holy Spirit is Christian Science. In fact, as they believe God is both Father and Mother. God is just not our Father, but God is our Mother. And you say, people believe that just like in the days of Christ. Everybody had an idea about Christ. Everybody had an idea about Jesus. And you know what the whole thing of everything is to explain away who he really is. You know, you have your idea about Jesus, and of course the idea is out there that we're all trying to get to heaven some way. And, you know, the Masonic Lodge teaches us that, you know, you go your way and I go my way, and you go your way and you go your way, but we're all going the same way. And when we get there to the great architect of the universe, we're there because we're all in the brotherhood of men and the fatherhood of God, which, by the way, is not in the Bible. I can tell you, my friend, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go through Buddha. You can't go through Muhammad. You can't go through the teachings of Mary Baker Eddy or Joe Smith or anybody else. You can only go through what this precious book right here says. And so the question is, who is Jesus? I mean, is he who these people say he is? Is he John the Baptist come back in the flesh? Is he Jeremiah? Or is he one of the prophets? Well, there's a whole lot of opinions about Jesus, and most of them are wrong. The only opinion about Jesus that counts is the one Jesus and God our Father had of himself. The only thing you really know for sure about Jesus is what's in this book. Now, don't tell me you got some revelation that's different from this. This is all God has said about himself. And God has revealed to us in this book all that we need to know. All that we need to know to go to heaven. If it's not in here, we don't need to delve in it. We don't need to ask about it. We don't need to inquire into it. God will tell us what we need to know. And I have to tell you something. If you can manage to take care of this, you don't really have time to fiddle with anything else. If you can live this and walk with this, you don't have time for a lot of other teaching or a lot of other ballyhoo. So the question is, and it's the disciples have been traveling with him for 2.5 years. And now they're having their final exam before they head to Calvary and before they get to do the work of God. And there's one question, and it's the number one question in the world, then and now, and it's the number one question that you have in your life tonight. And you know what it is? Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say he is? Well, when he asked that question, Peter got anointed, and he just spurted out for all the disciples. They've been traveling with him. They've been listening to him. And he said something that nobody else had the brass to say till that moment. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of John," or son of Jonas. Same word, just a transliteration. He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." And he said, "Well, who is he?" "He's Christ." Well, that's a Greek word, Christ is. And it's the same word, if you read it in Hebrew, would be Messiah. But if you translated it into English, it would be the Anointed One. Thou art the Anointed One. Now, for the Jews, man, this is a big statement. This is the one they've been looking for. You see, I don't think the Jews mind yet saying that Jesus is a good teacher. But everybody's still waiting for the Messiah. They didn't mind in that day. You see, all these people were forerunners of the Messiah. So they put Jesus in. Well, yeah, he's good, he's great, but there's one coming greater. Let me tell you something, my friend. He's it. He's it. There's no one else. He is the only begotten Son of the living God. So then when he says he is the Son of the living God, that tells us that he's God. I mean, my children are flesh and blood because I'm flesh and blood. We inherit the characteristics of our parents. And Jesus Christ did inherit human characteristics through Mary. But he inherited his character and his being from our Father in heaven, and he is the Son of the living God. This means the living God. Yeah, that's the one in the Old Testament, Jehovah. That's the one that created the heavens and the earth and the land and the sea. That's the one that set down the flood on Noah. That's the one that walked down the road and ate dinner with Abraham. That's the one that walked in the fiery furnace with the Hebrew children and sat in the lion's den with Daniel. The living God. Not some statue sitting up. Not some fat-bellied Buddha with his belly button showing, sitting there like this, waiting for somebody to give him an orange or a tangerine or something. Not some strange God that's demanding things, but a God who's giving things. A God who's giving. He's the living God. And if you pay attention to the scripture I just read to you, he is the builder of the church. It's not the Pope, it's not Peter, it's not John, it's not anybody. He is the builder of the church. I'm going to build my church on this rock. What, on Peter? No. The word Peter means a little gravel. The word rock, Petros, means a huge foundation stone. And the foundation stone that he's building his church on is the confession that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he is the victor. My brothers and sisters, I can tell you, the church of God has been maligned, persecuted, outlawed, drowned, burned, imprisoned, and had their heads cut off and beat. But I can tell you, my friend, the church of the living God is triumph. And one day, the gates of hell, you say, where is hell? It's Hades. It's the place of the dead. Go ahead and kill all the Christians. Go ahead, kill every one of us. Put us all into hell. Put us all in the place of the dead. Put us all in Hades. You say, well, I'd get rid of the church. My friend, that wouldn't have an effect on the church. When Jesus calls, the church will rise triumphant. I mean, the graves are going to open and the people are coming out. The church has not been defeated by death. They tried that. Nero wound them in rags and wrapped them in tar and set them on poles to light the arena. And while they burned and made the light, the Christians were put to the lions and to the test and to the gladiators, and the blood spilled and ran into the sand and all of that. My friend, those people are triumph. Their spirits are with God today, and their bodies one day are going to raise out of Rome, my friend, and ascend into glory. And I can tell you, the gates of hell will not prevail against the living church of God, because the living God is the head of the church. This is not man's church. This is not man's doings. This is not Rome's doings or Salt Lake's doings or Cleveland, Tennessee's doings, for that matter, my friend. This is the work of the Holy Spirit of God that's come over the whole world, and men and women have been saved and redeemed and brought to Christ. So the question is, who do you say he is? Can you confess him as your Lord and your Savior? Can you confess him as your God and your salvation? And the fact is, where do you get your ideas about Jesus anyway? How do you come by what you believe about Jesus? Is it secondhand theology? Is it because what Aunt Jenny May told you, or Uncle Festus or somebody? I mean, where did you get your theology? Did you just say, I believe this because I heard it? Or did you get it off a Christmas card, maybe? Or maybe you got it out of some article you read in a doctor's office. Where did you get your theology? Where did you get what you believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? It must be revealed to you by God our Father. God must draw you and bring you in, and you must come to a saving knowledge of him. My friend, there is no other record. I acknowledge no other book equal with this. Now, I'm aware that the followers of Mary Eddy Baker believe that her writings are equal with the Bible. I'm aware that Joseph Smith people believe that his writings are equal with the Bible. I'm aware that the Muslims believe that Muhammad's writings are superior to the Bible. Mary Eddy Baker said There's 300,000 eras in the New Testament. We couldn't possibly believe it because there's 300,000, they call themselves Christian scientists. But she says there's 300,000 eras in the New Testament and 30,000 eras in the Old Testament. So we have to have her writings to clarify what God's trying to say to us. I'm telling you, the Bible is God's revelation of His Son, Jesus Christ. All you need to know about Jesus is right here, my friend. You don't need somebody to come to your door and drag you off and tell you they have a superior knowledge of God. Nobody has a superior knowledge of the Holy Scripture. We all have the Bible. Christian scientists and Mormons and all of us and Muslims, we all have the Bible. Jehovah's Witness, we all have it. My friend, it's a witness to us. It's not full of mistakes. In fact, is the more archaeologists and scientists and people study the Bible, the clearer it becomes that the Bible is wonderful. I thank God for that little Bedouin shepherd boy that went in that cave and found the Dead Sea Scrolls. You see, those books of Isaiah had been preserved since hundreds of years before Christ. And when they took the book of Isaiah out and laid it down beside the book of Isaiah that we have, it's the same book. And some of the Mormon brothers used to tell me, say, well, them Catholics, they really messed with the Bible. My friend, I challenge you. Go get you a Douay version of the Roman Catholic Bible and set it down against the King James version of the Bible, and you'll find out the Bible is the Bible is the Bible. Now, somebody's idea about it may be different, and people have messed with the Bible. You know, they've added things to it. They took things out of it because they thought there were errors. But I can tell you, my friend, all you need to know about Jesus Christ starts in Genesis and ends in Revelation. Everything you need to know about getting to heaven is right in this book. Everything you need to know about who Jesus is here. And I testify to you today that it is the truth. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Redeemer of the world. He paid the only price that ever needs to be paid. My friend, I could do as good as I could do from now to Judgment Day, and it wouldn't be good enough to get me through the gates of this city. But I testify to you, in spite of what Miss Mary Eddie Baker says, that Jesus Christ died on the cross and spilled His precious blood. And my friend, as Loretta Lynn sang in that hymn many years ago, when we got those old 33 and a third RPM records, she was singing about the cross and about the blood coming down. And if you listen carefully, she was in a studio, but if you listen carefully, you'll hear her voice break. Because it said, when he talked about the blood coming down, she said, some of it spilled on me. Oh, thank God that some of it spilled on me. Thank God that some of the blood spilled in this holler. This holler was eat up with bootleggers and people that weren't going to church, and the little church was sitting down here desolate and empty. And God sent a missionary woman in here preaching the gospel and saved our souls, at least our grandmas and grandpas, and we inherit the blessing of salvation today. My brothers and sisters, who do you say Jesus is? Do you say He's a teacher? Oh, He is, my friend, but He's more. Do you say He's a good man? He's the best man that ever could be, the only one that never sinned. And Muslims then will agree to that He never sinned. But you see, He's not good enough. God has to give some other revelation. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you plainly today, you need nothing but the Holy Scripture to testify to you of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. For these are they that testify of me. My brothers and sisters, I've been reading the Bible all of my life. My mother read the Bible to me before I could read it, and I was taught to read out of the King James Version of the Bible. And when I was 14 years old, I got saved, praise God, and I started reading the Bible for myself on a regular basis. And I've never run out of material about the Lord Jesus Christ. The more I read about Him, the more I study about Him, the better I like it. Do you think this is the first service that we've ever been in where we had praise and adoration and glorified God? My friend, we've been doing it as long as I can remember, and my heart still reach out to Him. I can still sing that Christmas carol all years long. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Let us bow down before Him. My brothers and sisters, He's worthy to be praised. And I have to tell you, open your heart, open your mind, open your soul, and let the Spirit of God reveal the real Jesus to you. He's got a blood-stained banner. He's got nail-pierced hands and feet. He's got a scar in his side. And my friend, He has presented that sacrifice at the throne of God in heaven, a propitiation for your sins. You see, if I tried to go to heaven, if I could live ever so good, and I tried to go to heaven and stand before God and say, I come to plead, my friend, the white, holiness, light of God would destroy me. It would be like throwing a gnat into the sun. It would burn me up before I could get there. But you see, I go, you say, are you going to stand before the throne of God one day? Yes, I am. Are you going to be afraid? No, I'm not. Why? Because I'm covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And when I say His name, my Father will take me in and let me be part of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Give God a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Choir, would you come? Let's sing, He Touched Me. Hallelujah. Would you stand? How many of you testify, I've been touched by the Master's hand? Amen. Praise God. Father, we come into Your presence as we prepare to sing and pray. Thank You so much for the Holy Spirit we felt tonight and this morning. Thank You for salvation full and free. Father, I pray You'll bless every soul here, touch every heart and every life. Let us walk closer to You and be more and more and more what You would want us to be. Father, we pray that the man Christ Jesus will grow within us till we reach perfection and You bring us safely home. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be glad to pray with you. The church will be glad to pray with you if we need to pray tonight. But let's sing and worship God. I remember Judy's testimony this morning, and I want to tell you, you don't have to be here in church to experience the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be here in church to experience worship and praise. You need to praise God and worship Him in your house, on your job, driving your car, maybe while you're out in the field somewhere. Take a walk in the woods and talk to Jesus. And I'll tell you something, just a little talk with Jesus will make it right. But when you go to the Lord, don't just wait till the sky's falling in and the earth's crumbling from under you. Say, "Oh God!" How about going to Him and saying, "God, I love You. I praise You for sending Your Son. I thank You for all that You've done." And worship the Lord by yourself. He'll see you and He'll reward you in public. Hallelujah. Don't forget the midweek service on Wednesday. And we'll be baptizing this Wednesday night. And we're going to leave the water in for the weekend in case somebody wants to be baptized next weekend. And I certainly will be willing to do that. Father, we ask You now that the Holy Spirit will be a benediction to us and go with us and keep us, sanctify us, and use us to Your glory. We ask it in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.